And I guessed Mrs. Kidd. That's just my guess. Amen. And praise the Lord. Thank you for that encouraging song this morning. Allow me, if I could, to take you on a journey of a survey of the Pentateuch, the first five books of your Bible. A spiritual survey of biblical history. And you can feel free to say amen at any point. First of all, God created everything in six literal days. Lucifer and one-third of heaven's angels fell through pride. They caused the fall of man. Of course, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God hath made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said, We could eat of all the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it. And Eve added, Ye shall not touch it, lest ye die. Satan, of course, convinced her that she wouldn't die, and she began to look and to lust after that which God had forbidden. By the way, sidebar, once you begin to look at what God has forbidden, you will lust after it. You will. And so she took of the fruit and gave of her husband. We learn in the book of Timothy that Adam was not deceived, but he took of the fruit and man fell. But praise God, in the same chapter, we discussed it in Sunday school this morning, God promised a Savior. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, He said to the serpent, God, putting the curse on the serpent, said, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. That is the first reference in the Bible toward the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. A woman does not have a seed, ladies and gentlemen. The man provides the seed. Well then, of course, you read your Bible, you find we have the slaying of Abel by Cain, and the world begins to be wicked. And in Genesis chapter 6, it literally says that wickedness and violence covered the entire earth. God flooded the earth, destroyed all except Noah, his children, and their wives. Then we find later on in the book of Genesis that Nimrod built a city called Babel. And they built a tower and tried to reach heaven on their own. And man has been trying to do that ever since. God sent the confusion of the languages. In the next chapter, he called Abraham from Ur, the Chaldees. And it was God's desire to raise up a nation, and through that nation, to bless all nations. Later on, we learn of Abraham having Isaac. We'll talk about that tonight in our message on prioritizing by principle. And Isaac had two sons named Esau and Jacob. And Jacob had 12 sons, one of them named Joseph. Joseph was sold into slavery by his stepbrothers into Egypt. And by the way, God, through persecution, built a nation. Every time I read the story of Joseph, I'm awed, ladies and gentlemen, at the sovereignty of God. That when tragedy strikes, and listen, to be sold by your brothers into slavery is a tragedy. Here you are off in slavery. You're conducting yourself as a gentleman, as a child of God. And the boss's wife lays her eyes upon you and falsely imprisons you. That's a tragedy. You're in prison and you help two people. You interpret their dreams. And the only request you make, Brother Easterling, is just remember me when you come back before Pharaoh. And he wasn't remembered, was he? He was forgotten. It's a tragedy. And all those things may have dampened a lot of people's faith, but Joseph knew who he was. And he kept serving the Lord, and because of him, God exalted him to the second in command of Pharaoh in Egypt. And he literally saved the world. Amazing. Well, after 430 years in Egypt, 400 of them were cruel years, awful years. See, the first 30, Joseph was still around, and Pharaoh's knew of Joseph. But we read Exodus chapter 1, and it says, there arose a new king who knew not Joseph. And he dealt hard with the Israelites. After 430 years, God speaks to Moses on the backside of the desert, and he tells him that he is going to deliver his people and that he is going to use Moses. And I appreciate Brother Brandon feels like God wants him to go to the mission field. Told me, he said, I've been working on a message about Moses' excuses. And all the excuses he made. And really, the one excuse he made, Brother Phelps, that God couldn't stand was when basically Moses said, hey, I'm just unavailable. All the other excuses, God had a way to try to help him. He said, you know, you can't speak, and I'll help you with that. And hey, you're nervous, I can help you with that. You don't know my name, I can help you with that. But when we're not available, there's not much God can do with us. And he delivers his people, and we know, of course, the 10 plagues, and by the way, literally stomping out each one a god of Egypt. It's a great study if you study that. And by the way, I don't know who would want flies and lice for gods. I don't know, amen. Or frogs. Some pretty silly gods there, amen. And he went and he delivered his people. They came out of Egypt and crossed the Red Sea, and they came into Kadesh Barnea, and they had an 11-day journey ahead of them. And they sent spies into the land, 12 spies, and 10 came back and said it couldn't be done. 2 said, our God is able to do anything. But because of the lack of faith and the discouragement of those 10 spies, 40 years of funerals took place in the wilderness. And a journey that should have taken 11 days took 40 years. Moses died, and the leadership was passed on to Joshua. And it brings us to our book of the Bible today, Joshua. And there's really 3 major sections of Joshua. There's the preparation for entering Canaan, and that's the first 5 chapters. There's the subjection of conquering Canaan, chapter 6 through chapter 13, verse 7. And then there's the possession of dividing Canaan. You have the settlement east of the Jordan River, and then you have the settlement west, and you have the settlement of the religious community, which brings us to our text today. Look at Joshua chapter 20. And here we have what's known are what are known as the cities of refuge. Verses 7 and 8, they tell us that the cities west of the Jordan, Kadesh and Shechem and Kirjath Arba, and then 3 cities east of the Jordan, Bezer, Ramoth, and Golan. Let me point out, number one this morning, about, number one, the cities. The cities. First of all, let me say this, they were prearranged by God. These 6 cities were prearranged by God. If you look at chapter 20, verses 1 and 2, it says, the Lord also spake unto Joshua, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, appoint out for you cities of refuge, whereof I spake unto you by the hand of Moses. And he was referring in the book of Numbers, chapter 35, verses 10 and 11. He said, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when ye be come over Jordan into the land of Canaan, ye shall appoint unto you cities to be cities of refuge. So, ladies and gentlemen, them pointing out these cities and appointing these cities was not their idea. They didn't think, well, it would be a good idea if we had these cities of refuge here and there. They literally were following divine orders. Can I say this? These cities were an expression of divine mercy. And we're going to talk about that in just a little bit. That they were an expression of the forethought of God, not the afterthought of man. They were prearranged by God. God knew that a direct consequence of the fall of man would be accidental manslaughter. That man would accidentally kill one another. So they not only were prearranged by God, but if you look at verses 3 and 4 of Joshua chapter 20, they provided shelter. These cities provided shelter. Look at it. That the slayer that killeth any person unawares and unwittingly may flee thither. And they shall be for your refuge from the avenger of blood. And when he doth flee unto one of those cities, they shall stand at the entering of the gate. The gate of the city shall declare his cause. In the ears of the elder, they shall take him in unto them and give him a place that he may dwell. So this person, he accidentally kills somebody. We'll look in just a little bit in Deuteronomy chapter 19. It gives us an example. But the brother or the relative of that man demands justice, sword in hand, and begins to pursue after that person, they could come to one of these cities and they would provide shelter. They not only provided shelter, they were prearranged by God, but they were to be plainly marked out. Deuteronomy 19:3 says, "Thou shalt prepare thee a way and divide the coast of the land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee to inherit into three parts, that every slayer may flee thither." They were to be prepared. Jewish tradition holds that one day per year, persons were sent out to repair the roads leading to the cities of refuge, to remove all stumbling stones that one could trip over on the way to the cities of refuge, and to restore the signs that pointed. By the way, they said the Jewish word miklak, and that means refuge. Refuge. Not only were they to be plainly marked out, did they provide shelter, were they prearranged by God, but they were purposefully accessible to all. If you study their placement, you will find three on the west side of the Jordan and three on the east side of the Jordan. You will find two to the north, two to the middle center on each side of the Jordan, and two to the south. There was one accessible to you wherever you lived in the promised land. They were purposefully accessible to all. And of course you find that in verses 7 through 9. It gives the breakdown of each one. And then verse 9 says, "These were the cities appointed for all the children of Israel and for the stranger that sojourneth among them." So number one, we see the cities prearranged by God, provided shelter, plainly marked out, purposefully accessible to all. Number two, we see the characters in this passage. I want you to notice the first character we see is the accidental slayer. Joshua 20 verse 3. "The slayer that killeth any person unawares and unwittingly may flee thither." Deuteronomy chapter 19 verse 5 gives us an illustration, an example of what this would be. It says, "As when a man goeth into the wood with his neighbor to hew wood, and his hand fetcheth a stroke with the axe to cut down the tree, and the head slippeth from the helve and lighteth upon his neighbor that he die, he shall flee unto one of those cities and live." So here are two men. They're having fellowship in the morning, and any good fellowship in the morning involves coffee, and all God's people said. It's not in the scriptures, but it's in the RAZ version. Amen. And they're going along, and they're going, each one has an axe in their hand, and they're going ready to cut down a tree, and they get ready, and one is over here, and one is over here, and he gets ready to take that first swing, and the axe head comes off of his axe. And it flips and flips and hits the man, other man, right in the head, and he dies. The accidental slayer. He didn't mean to do that, and all God's people said. He could flee to the city of refuge. We not only have an accidental slayer, but we have the just avenger also in verse number 3. The end of verse 3, it says, speaking of these cities here, "They shall be your refuge from the avenger of blood." See, the brother of that man or the father of that man that was killed, he's not really interested in how he got killed. He's interested in the fact that they walked out, the two of them, both alive this morning. and now one is dead. And justice was to be served. Frightening, amen? Justice was to be served. So we have the just avenger. We have the accidental slayer in this story. By the way, we also have, by way of implication, the premeditated murderer. Verse 3 talks about the slayer that killeth any person unawares. Back in Deuteronomy chapter 19, it says this, "But if any hate his neighbor and lie in wait for him and rise up against him and smite him mortally that he die and fleeth into one of those cities, then the elders of the city shall send and fetch him thence and deliver him to the hand of the avenger." So there were those, by the way, that tried to take advantage of the system that God had set up. Said, "I'm going to slay this person and I'm going to go to one of these cities and tell them it was an accident." Then you have in verse 4 of Joshua 20, you not only have the premeditated murderer, you have the just avenger, the accidental slayer, you have the wise elders. The elders had to pray and discern the cause. Amen? Difficult. Verse 4 says, "And when he doth flee to one of those cities, shall stand at the entering of the gate and shall declare his cause in the ears of the elders." Those wise elders. The premeditated murderer. The just avenger. The accidental slayer. There was a discerning congregation, according to verses 6 and 9. Said that he would stand before the congregation. Verse 6 tells us there was the high priest. "He shall dwell in that city," talking about this accidental slayer, "until he stand before the congregation in judgment, until the death of the high priest that shall be in those days. Then shall the slayer return and come into his own city after the high priest died." And then, praise God for this too, there was also the sojourning stranger. It wasn't just for Israel. It was for anybody who was in Israel at the time could see this happen. Well, we see the cities. We see the characters. Number 3, I want you to notice briefly the cause. What was the cause? It says here, the slayer that killeth any person, verse 3 please, "The slayer that killeth any person unawares and unwittingly may flee thither, and they shall be your refuge for the avenger of blood. And when he doth flee unto one of those cities, and shall stand at the entering into the gate, and shall declare his cause." What was the cause of the cities of refuge? Innocent blood had been shed in the land, and justice was to be served. By the way, may I just say, this has nothing to do with the message particularly, but there is a Bible doctrine of capital punishment, ladies and gentlemen. God has never rescinded that doctrine. It started in Genesis chapter 9, verse 6, and it's biblically mandated that whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. And I think about that, and I'll not stay long on that, but those that would like to make Jesus something he's not, you'd better read the 19th chapter of Revelation when he comes back. Because you know what he's going to do to his enemies? He's going to slay them. He's not going to debate with them. He's not going to try to persuade them. He's trying to do that now, and all God's people said. But he is going to slay them with the sword of his mouth. And so we see here that innocent blood had been shed in the land, and the cause was that justice was to be served. The cities were prearranged by God. They provided shelter. They were to be plainly marked out. They were purposefully accessible to all. The characters were the accidental slayer, the just avenger, the premeditated murderer, the wise elders, the discerning congregation, the high priest, and the sojourning stranger. The cause was innocent blood had been shed and justice was to be served. Let me, number 4 this morning, give you the conclusion. You say, "Pastor, there's a lot of history there. And how does it apply to us today?" A type in the Bible is a preordained representation of certain persons, events, or institutions in the Old Testament for corresponding persons, events, object lessons which God has showed us in the New Testament. It's a picture. When someone looks at an old photo of me, I keep a photo on my phone from when I used to have long hair. And I was in a rock band. And by the way, I don't do that to give the devil glory. I do it to give God the glory. Because were it not for Him and His grace, that's what I would be like today. And I keep that on my phone, and inevitably somebody will look at that, and the first thing they say is, ew. Which is common when somebody looks at me. I get that a lot, amen. Some people get oohs and ahs. I get more like, ooh, ah, amen, when somebody looks at me, amen. I wasn't in Who's Who, I was in What's That, amen. But they look at a picture and they'll say, is that you? And I'll say, it's a picture of me. And ladies and gentlemen, much in the Old Testament is a picture of something that God shows us in the New Testament. And the entire portion of Joshua chapter 20 has to do with pictures. You see, ladies and gentlemen, the cities of refuge here, these six cities, are rich with typical significance. And I want to tell you first and foremost this morning that the cities of refuge represent the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our city of refuge. Amen. Psalm chapter 46 verse 1 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Psalm 91 2 says, I will say unto the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. In Him will I trust. Just as those cities were prearranged by God, can I tell you, Revelation 13 8 says that Jesus Christ is a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Before man ever existed, God had planned salvation. Amen. It says in Acts chapter 2, verse 23, that Jesus was crucified by the divine counsel and foreknowledge of God. Just as Jesus Christ was preordained by God, can I say this today? Thank God that Jesus Christ provides us shelter. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Oh, listen to these, my wife's favorite verses. Romans 8, that's Romans 8, 1. Romans 8, 38 and 39 says, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Jesus Christ our Lord. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. By the way, past, present, and future salvation in that verse. It provides shelter. Can I say this? Jesus Christ, our city of refuge, prearranged by God, provides shelter, is plainly marked out. Jesus said in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 11, believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. No one has ever lived the life that Jesus lived. No one has ever done the things that Jesus has done. He said later in chapter 20, verses 30 and 31, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of His disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that by believing you might have life through His name. The last verse of the Gospel of John says this, and there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. And John ends with, amen. You see, it's plainly marked out that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. It's plainly marked out that He is the only Savior. Depend on Mary if you want to. Jesus is the only Savior. Depend on that baptistry if you want to. Jesus is the only Savior. Depend on taking the Lord's table if you want to. But listen to me. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. You see, ladies and gentlemen, He provides shelter, yes. He's plainly marked out. Oh, and I love this one. Brother Lawley, he's perfectly accessible to all. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. What was that promise? That he's going to come back and judge. He's not slack concerning that promise. He's right on time. But his long suffering to usward. By the way, if you're a Christian here, I hope you thank God every day for his long suffering. Think of how long long it took for some of us to get saved. Some of you were in church for year after year after year after year after year after decade before you got saved. That's the long suffering of God. The long suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Romans 10:13, one of the most blessed verses in the Bible. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Revelation 22:17, the last invitation of the Bible, says, And the Spirit and the Bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. I've mentioned this before. I hope you don't get tired of these stories. 2006, my wife and I had the privilege to go to Hawaii for our 10th anniversary. And then came children. No more Hawaii. Amen. We went to a church, a great church in Honolulu. Military-minded church, just because obviously that's their field. Amen. There's military all around them. And they had several people, and the pastor, Brother Wayne Surface, he got up right before the message, much like we do, and he said, We're going to have a special this morning. We're going to have Tupu come and sing for us. And Tupu was about 6'6", 280-pound, big old Hawaiian. I thought, you don't get that big eating poi, amen? He's at a luau or two, amen? And he got up there and he sang that great old hymn, The cross upon which Jesus died is a shelter in which we can hide. And its grace so free is sufficient for me. And deep as the fountain, as wide as the sea, there's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you. I just so thoroughly enjoyed him singing that song. And he got down and Brother Surface got up and he said, Thank you for that song, Tupu. And all I know is that if there's room at the cross for Tupu, there's room at the cross for you. You know what? That city of refuge, it's easily accessible to all. It's accessible. You think about it. I think about the characters. The accidental slayer in this story is a picture of the guilty sinner. He didn't mean to do it, but that person is dead nonetheless. You see, ladies and gentlemen, he had the judgment of death upon him. He deserved to die. He was guilty. He couldn't undo his guilt. But he could flee to the city of refuge. You see, ladies and gentlemen, we're sinners. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. We owe the payment, like it or lump it, believe it or not, you and I are justly condemned sinners, but we can flee to Jesus. We can come and say, yes, I'm a sinner. We can come to that door of the city of refuge and plead our cause. Amen. I do not frustrate the grace of God. Galatians 2:21 says, for if righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. You cannot get to heaven on your own. You can't. That's why God provided a Savior. You can't do it. So the accidental slayer pictures the guilty sinner. Hebrews 10, verses 11 and 12, tremendous verses. And every priest standeth daily ministering the offering, oft times the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. You know, in the Old Testament, sins were only covered. Ladies, it's like a lump in the throw rug. You still knew it was there. Amen? But oh, then it says this, but this man, speaking of Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. You know, the slayer had to be willing to just go to the city, didn't they? They had to be willing, Miss Robin, to run to that city. You know what the Bible says in John 5:40? Ye will not come unto me that you might have life. It didn't say you couldn't. It said you won't. Do you know why people die? Do you know why people are going to die today and go to hell that have sat in churches just like this? They didn't want to be saved. They didn't want to be saved. I'll make it on my own. My religion's good enough. No, it's not. A bloody cross says no, it's not. No, it's not. The accidental slayer had to be willing to go. He had to be willing to go. By the way, the slayer had to declare his cause according to this text. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made. Can I tell you the just avenger pictures God's law and justice? The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The first surely in the Bible, that first mention, Brother Sammons, amen, is in Genesis chapter 2 when God said, if you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt surely die. The just avenger pictures God's law and justice with sword in hand demanding justice. Can you see God's law running behind that sinner heading towards the city of refuge, gaining ground on him every day? And listen to me, if you're here and you think that by being a good person and keeping the law you're going to make it, you're not. God's going to take that justice. By the way, He showed us the law to show us how unkeepable it was. Only one ever kept it. Every jot and tittle, the Lord Jesus Christ. So just imagine that just avenger with sword in hand chasing that accidental slayer. Can I say this? The characters here in the conclusion, the premeditated murder pictures the unrepentant sinner. There is no refuge for those who will not repent and turn to Jesus Christ. There's no refuge. None. God's justice will overcome you, overwhelm you, and you will spend eternity in the devil's hell. What's the conclusion? Turn to Jesus. Turn to Jesus. Listen, put away religion. You know where religion belongs? In hell, where it was birthed. That's where it belongs. You say, you're a pastor. How can you say that? It's about a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not about religion sends people to hell. More people than alcohol, more people than drugs that cling to a dead religion. They've got nothing, no relationship with Christ. Listen, flee to the city of refuge. Say, I'm a sinner. My sinful condition, there's no way I could save myself. And the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I tell you, Jesus said, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. What's the conclusion? Flee to the city of refuge this morning. Flee to the city of refuge. Share, by the way, Christian, share the city of refuge with somebody. We had Friend Day, and I was so glad to see so many friends and several people raise their hands that said they accepted Christ as their Savior. But listen, let's not get complacent, church. Amen. 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 People are still dying every day and going to hell. Let's carry gospel tracts. Let's have a gospel witness. Let's tell people there is a Savior and you can be saved. You can flee to the city of refuge. The Lord is my refuge. In Him will I trust. Father, we love You. Thank You that You are